Blog Talk Radio.
No matter what the effort, letting our kids take the wheel on occasion does not always come cheap. Trusting Mr. Know-It-All new boyfriend on the first date? Guess not. We stay confident and watch as they grow into responsible adults, doing only what they think is best. But doing what we do best makes us proud to be a part of fixing it. For a wide range of quality tools and products guaranteed nationally, you'll always find there's more to Midas.
Product of Damon Network. This is Breaking the Silence, and I'm your host, Mo Garman, on air now from Lagos, Nigeria. Dial in at 516-453-9133 and press 1 to join the conversation. Brought to you by Looking Glass Entertainment. Tonight we're discussing organizational dysfunction. We're going to explore five major causes of organizational dysfunction. We're going to start off with visible signs of dysfunction, and then we'll explore the signs that are less tangible. And finally, we'll end with some solutions to these problems. Before we begin, I want to say thanks to everyone for supporting my show. I want to especially thank O&E Dynasty family for all the support I received and Brother O for giving me this opportunity. The quote from Mahatma Gandhi, "It is the action, not the fruit of the action, that is important. You have to do the right thing. It may not be in your power, may not be in your time, that there'll be fruit. But that doesn't mean you stop doing the right thing. You may never know what results came from your actions, but if you do nothing, there will be no result at all." Tonight we're discussing the things that go on at work that make you want to scream. Organizational dysfunction. Why is this topic important? Because by properly identifying the dysfunction, you can challenge the status quo and get the results for change by holding leaders accountable, just like Martin. With that said, let's define dysfunction. A dysfunction is defined as an outcome for an organization or institution that runs significantly contrary to the purpose of the organization. But dysfunction in any form and any degree comes at a cost. Keep us from effective outcomes, efficient results, and successful conclusions as it brings down an entire organization. Workplace dysfunction occurs whenever members of a team lack confidence and desire to work together toward a common purpose. Much like a contagious disease, dysfunction spreads from person to person and from unit to unit. Do any of these sound like your workplace? If so, call in. The first dysfunction that we're going to discuss tonight is called the misunderstood mission. Every individual of an organization must know the mission. When members know the value and principles of their group, they can make decisions on their own simply by comparing the options with the group's mission. The leaders are responsible for making sure that everyone knows the group's purpose. If an organization doesn't understand its mission, most of the time it's because leaders themselves don't have a clear vision of the organization's purpose. Leaders need to reevaluate the organization's mission constantly, knowing that the mission can and should evolve over time. As new leaders are chosen or external pressures change, and the mission should be in writing. Another common reason that an organization might its mission is that the mission isn't adequately communicated. The leaders might agree on a purpose and try to explain it to the members, but a poorly formulated mission message will give different people of the group a different idea. The purpose statements should be repeated often to help everybody know what the group, why the group exists, and the values that it holds together. The clearest mission can be expressed in a single sentence. Let's explore one. To prevent and alleviate human suffering in the face of emergencies by mobilizing the power of volunteers and generosity of donors. That is from the American Red Cross. It sounds really beautiful, but let's look at the dysfunction within the American Red Cross. When a devastating earthquake leveled Haiti in 2010, millions of people donated to the American Red Cross. The charity raised $500 million. And it was one of the most successful fundraisers ever. The American Red Cross vowed to help Haitians rebuild, but after 12 years, the Red Cross legacy in Haiti is not new roads or new schools, not known where all the money went. In 2017, the Red Cross has confirmed more than $5 million of aid money was lost to fraud and corruption during the Ebola epidemic in West Africa, where they raised money. And let's not forget the mishandling of funds in Hurricane Katrina. In that fiasco, Ray Nagin, the mayor of New Orleans at the time, was convicted on 21 charges of wire fraud, bribery, and money laundering related to bribes from the city contractors before and after Katrina. He was sentenced to 10 years in a federal prison. On April 3rd, 2013, a new inspector general found that $700 million was awarded to the victims of Katrina and was never accounted for. Let's look at another mission statement that we all should probably know by heart. It's the mission statement from the Department of Minneapolis Police Department. We, the members of the Minneapolis Police Department, are committed to doing all we can to protect and serve in a way that minimizes harm and risk to our community and to ourselves. Sanctity of life is the most precious of all our duties. We must serve without bias or favor. Public safety is not just the absence of crime, it is the presence of justice. Every aspect of our professional service must demonstrate our commitment to procedural justice. We will act by giving others voice and respect, being neutral and building trust in our interactions. Virtually all U.S. police departments have a policy that requires officers to intervene if a cop is taking things too far with someone they're interacting with, but the police are often criticized for not following through. Let's talk about it. There was recently a case in Florida where a junior officer followed protocol and intervened appropriately with her sergeant, who was attempting to assault a black man that was already in custody and handcuffed. The sergeant was attempting to pepper spray him. The sergeant turned around and grabbed the junior officer, who was a white female, by the throat and pushed her against the police car. That sergeant is now in the subject of an internal affairs investigation. That said, it's important to hire people with good values, good judgment, and integrity. Without these key traits, you end up with corruption and chaos within the organization. Also, remember what I said in the beginning. We can hold these organizations accountable for their actions by exploring their mission. This is a product of Damon Network, and this is Breaking the Silence, and I'm your host, Mo Garman. On air now from Lagos, Nigeria, dial in at 516-453-9133. Press 1 to join the conversation, brought to you by Looking Glass Entertainment. Tonight, we're exploring five major causes of organizational dysfunction. Let's get to dysfunction cause number 2, which is lack of consensus. Team members need to share a common view of the problem that the group has to solve. For example, if a product isn't selling well, but only some of the team members recognize the situation, the team can't move in a unified direction to solve the problem. Sometimes team members agree on symptoms, but disagree on the underlying cause. Some people might think products don't sell well because they're poorly marketed. Others might think a lack of quality is the issue. Brainstorming sessions across the organization can help you uncover the real issues and their root causes. Not only should the group share a view of the problems and root causes, they must also come to a consensus on priorities. Sometimes people agree on a set of issues but agree on the relative importance of each. Some team members might think competition is the biggest problem. Others might think limited resources are more troublesome, while still others focus in on vision or the lack thereof. Leaders have to make sure that all team members share a common view of the group's issues and their relative priorities. Without this consensus, the individuals making up the group can never work together to find solutions. The Crown Act is an example of a lack of consensus in the workplace. The insensitivity towards the African-American community, workplaces often develop dress codes with policies and procedures that are not inclusive. We African-Americans are told not to wear braids or locks in the workplace, especially corporate workplaces. This is even an issue at HBCUs. I know this for a fact. According to the official website, the Crown Act is a law that prohibits race-based hair discrimination, which is the denial of employment and educational opportunities because of hair texture or protective hairstyles, including braids, locks, twists, or bantu knots. And let's not forget Mr. Maloney. You're going to say, who's that? He was the official for the Buena Ocrest dual meet in December of 2018. He instructed a black wrestler, Andrew Johnson, to either wear the proper head cover, cut his dreadlocks, or forfeit his belt. Andrew Johnson elected to undergo the Matt Side haircut, which was captured on video, and it went viral. And also, don't forget the lack of consensus that Ice Cube received. Yes, Ice Cube. He is an entrepreneur, has his own company, has several, actually. But he made a he received a lot of lack of consensus because of his contract with Black America that addresses racial inequality on all levels of society. If you haven't read it, I challenge you to do so. It addresses issues concerning all African Americans, while the mission is clear, which is the economic advancement of African American society. The lack of consensus has left the contract ineffectively implemented because we as Black Americans didn't even read it before we rejected it because we didn't understand what he was trying to do. This particular Ice Cube presented the contract to Trump, and afterwards the contract was dismissed, even though African American scholars created that contract. Essentially, the contract was about the plan for African Americans, and it is not affiliated with any party. So basically, to introduce this contract, he was just trying to explore with Trump, but I think people, as soon as they heard him talking to Trump, they just dismissed it at all, completely. Let's move on to the next dysfunction. Dysfunction number three is a misunderstood strategy. Not only do team members need to know the group's strategy, they also have to believe in it and integrate it into their work. When each member of the group knows how the group will go about fulfilling its mission, people can work in unison. Is it the team strategy to produce faster than anybody else, or can the team provide vaccinations in a remote area by pressuring large pharmaceutical companies to lower prices? Once the strategy is understood, team members must grasp the group's tactics, and that is how the strategy will be implemented. Leaders must make sure all individuals understand the strategies that the group has targeted to meet its objectives. Once the individuals understand and accept the group's strategies and tactics, they can function as a group to meet the goals. This is a capitalistic society here in the U.S. Therefore, all strategies are for-profit companies revolve around making money. If they are not held accountable for unethical behavior, they will continue to make money at all costs. This is the bottom line. Take, for instance, what happened to the institutionalized mentally ill. When the government could no longer pay for the mentally ill to be institutionalized, the mentally ill were just released by all hospitals across the nation. They were placed on the streets in large cities. That just is terrible. I think that's something that's been a disservice to the mentally ill. We walk around here and we try to understand why we have these mentally ill people on the streets, and this is why, because of organizational dysfunction. This is a product of Damon Network. And this is Breaking the Silence, and I'm your host, Mo Garman. On air now from Lagos, Nigeria, dial in at 516-453-9133. Press 1 to join the conversation. Brought to you by Looking Glass Entertainment. Tonight we're exploring five major causes of organizational dysfunction, and we're on the fourth cause, lack of team cohesion. People need a sense of identity and belonging. Above all, they need to be able to trust their leaders and other team members. All human structures exist only so long as the majority of individuals in the group believe that the structure will continue to exist. Furthermore, group members need to count on other group members to do what they say they'll do, and group members have to believe in team rules and structures. Systemic racism has negatively impacted group cohesion in many organizations. Good leaders promote trust within their group and ensure that each individual feels like part of the group. Above all, leaders first demonstrate that he or she is trustworthy. We have a track next by International Internet Radio Hall of Fame disc jockey, Brother O. Thank you. This is a product of Damon Network, and this is Breaking the Silence, and I'm your host, Mo Garman, on air now from Lagos, Nigeria. Dial in at 516-453-9133 and press 1 to join the conversation. Brought to you by Looking Glass Entertainment. Tonight we're exploring the 5 major causes of organizational dysfunction. And we're going to go forward on to our 5th cause, which is the lack of resources. Every organization needs resources in order to function, and those resources must be available on time. If the team cannot get the tools and materials it needs to do a job, then a job won't be done. Each team member will feel frustration and morale will suffer. Does your group have everything it needs? For example, do you have enough laptops to support your sales staff? Do you have enough software to support your group's business processes? Will your travel funds cover sending individuals where they need to go to get a job done? Leaders must go outside the group as needed to ensure that groups get everything they need to do their work. I think we have a caller in the queue. Caller 1, can you please tell us where you're calling from and state your name?
Hi, peace and blessings, Mancho.
Hey, how you doing, Sister Bessie?
Hey, sweetheart.
I'm enjoying
your show. I'm enjoying your subject. And you know, I got to come in. You know, I respect. You know, the officers out there that go out there and give their lives in order to try and keep us safe. Mm-hmm. But one thing I like to say is that they need to speak up when they have bad officers.
Correct.
You know, the bad officers make the good officers really look bad. And a lot of people are, I guess, they feel like we've been mistreated, not, you know, blacks, Spanish, and other races. We have been mistreated in this country according to how they approach the people. And I just wish that the officers out there, if they hear me, that they would turn the bad officers in. We will respect you for doing that.
Agreed.
Because that means that you're a good officer if you
Correct.
Do that. And
I think that
I just,
what happens. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I think that what happens is there's some dissonance with them because they have that blue wall of silence that they all
yes.
talk about on all the TV shows. We see all that, the blue wall. They have this code that they have to live with. And it's hard for them. But like you
yes.
said, it's the right thing to do.
Yes. Yes, lives would be saved like that to me.
Yep.
And, sister, I also wanted to talk about the elderly. You know,
mm-hmm.
Today, there's a lot of cases that elderly are being abused, are being hurt, are broken into their homes, and their lives have been taken. There's a lot of disrespect for the elders. And also in the medical system also. But I just wanted to talk about this new medical system or place that I've started going to.
Okay.
This place is for the elderly.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to make sure that the elderly is taken care of, that they don't keep going to the hospital. They have different things for us. And, you know, when I first went there, I was kind of nervous about it because, you know, I have a lot of problems with the medical and the pharmaceutical industry. But when I walked into this facility, it was very, very nice. And the people were nice. And I just want to mention it on the podcast, on your broadcast. It's called Dedicated Seniors Medical Center.
Mm-hmm.
And they have everything that you need to monitor your health, even acupuncture, massages. You know, I when I heard they was giving out massages, I said, what? And it's so nice to have the medical facility that will look after elderly people and take care of them in a proper way.
It's my understanding that Dedicated is catering to elderly, and they care for you based upon, and they try to focus on your wellness. They get paid and reimbursed when you're well, whereas HMOs get reimbursed when you're sick.
Yes. And I think that's wonderful. About time. We need that kind of, because, you know, most elderly people and people are having problems with the medical system, and it's a joy to find a place like that. That's all I wanted to say to you, my sister. And you're doing a great job. I love you so much.
I love you, too. Thanks for calling. Okay. That's our topic. Leaders go outside the group as needed to ensure that the group gets everything it needs to do its work. Not only do team members need to know the group's strategy, they also have to believe in and integrate it into their work. When each member of the group knows how the group will go about fulfilling its mission, people can work in unison. Once the strategy is understood, team members must grasp the group's tactics, and that's how the strategy will be implemented. Leaders must go outside the group as needed to ensure that the group gets everything it needed to do its work. I have personally witnessed new employees hazing in healthcare, and the new employees have been left without critical resources needed to complete their job. The need to haze the employee was done in a manner that created a lack of support for the staff member and at times jeopardized patient safety and quality of care. We have caller 2 in the queue now. Caller, can you please tell us who you are and where you're calling from?
Hey, Mo, it's Jerry Petito, sweetie. I'm calling from New Jersey.
Hi, how are you, Jerry? Nice to hear you.
I'm getting there, baby. I'm getting there. Excuse my voice.
Are you getting as much snow as us?
I'm sorry?
Are you getting as much snow as us?
Well, right now I think we've only got an inch. How much you got?
About an inch.
Okay. So I'm hoping it just goes real nice and easy. So I loved everything Sister Bessie said. Of course, she's always right on the money. I wanted to just share with you a couple things. So in my family, I have my cousin just retired as chief of police. I have officers in my family. I have doctors that work in New York Hospital. I have nurses in my family, teachers in my family. I've interviewed all of them privately, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everything is corrupt. All of their hands are tied. We don't even know half of it. And this is what's so heartbreaking for me. Even in the schools, I'm going to share something with you. I was told by a reliable source a couple of years ago that pharmaceutical industry will absolutely target the poorer school systems. And if a child seems like he's having too much fun outside or running around too much or too loud, they have to get in touch with the parent and tell them they have to put them on a med for ADD, whatever it is. And the school gets paid per child.
Yeah,
they get on these meds.
I know that.
Okay,
too.
Everything. Listen, their hands are tied in everything that's going on right now. Our chef, Yosef, he's a good friend of mine. That's Brother O's cousin. And he's my vegan Vince, okay? He had a show with me on Hamilton Radio. It was called, his show was called Freedom Truth Radio, okay? So we teamed up and did two shows, part one and part two, one on mine and one on his, called Exposing the Truth. Well, guess what? We did it a few years back, and within 30 seconds after our shows were done, Facebook removed them.
See, that's a problem.
It was crazy. It was crazy. So what's sad for me and heartbreaking is, again, I feel like there's no hope, not with anything that's going on out there. Everybody's hands seem to be tied. They all have underlying threats to their jobs, to their livelihood. And I feel like this system is so broken, I don't know how it's going to ever get fixed. But I love that you're bringing all this up.
Thank you. I think it starts with the power of one. I think that we have to slowly fix it, just like the young lady I was talking about, the police officer that stood up to her superior. She got choked by him, but she stood up to him and she said no. And during the George Floyd riots, there was a woman police officer, there was a man kneeling on the ground, and he was being contentious with the police. I'm not going to say he wasn't, but it was verbal. There was nothing physical going on. And
right.
One of the officers got upset that he was being confrontational verbally, and the female officer jumped in and intervened and said, leave him alone. So certain things do have to happen, and it is happening.
Right. Well, I want to share one more thing, and I'll let you go. My daughter and I are advocates, and we've actually protested a few times in Trenton, New Jersey, one of the worst sections. Right in front of the courthouse, the whole bit. We went in, we got in the door and right up front, and we were in the courtroom. And we protested twice with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. for our constitutional rights and our religious exemptions and the whole bit. We won both times. And what was sad for me was we had people coming from out of town, different states, to support us, which was amazing. And you had to see all the backlash after we won. And I'm thinking, you guys don't understand. If our constitutional rights are taken away from us, we're done. So people need to really understand this and get on board. And, you know, people can say all they want, and I've said this before, but get off your butts and let's do something about it. Because right now I feel like we're the minority, the ones that are doing something. And we have to stay strong, I understand. I'm just, you know, through this whole, the last 2 years of all this pandemic nonsense and everything, I'm just starting to feel, like, broken with it. And, you know, we'll see what happens. But I love you for everything you're doing, man.
Thank you so much. That means a lot coming from you.
All right, girlfriend. You're awesome.
All right, you take care. Back to our topic, which is organizational dysfunction. We're going to talk just briefly about spirituality, though. Spiritually speaking, what does organizational dysfunction mean? In order to learn what workplace spirituality is, we must first understand what it is not. Workplace spirituality has nothing to do with organized religious practices, God, or any other theology. Organizations that recognize workplace spirituality realize that people have an inner life that they must find meaning in their work, and their work must take place in the context of community. Organizations that provide a culture that embraces workplace spirituality realizes that their employees want to feel like a valued member of their community, and most organizations should provide ways for their members to make positive contributions to the places that they work and live. You wouldn't have so much dysfunction if you had the spirituality in the workplace. This is a product of Damon Network, and this is Breaking the Silence, and I'm your host, Mo Garman, on air now from Lagos, Nigeria. Dial in at 516-453-9133. Press 1 to join the conversation, brought to you by Looking Glass Entertainment. And tonight we're exploring five major causes of organizational dysfunction. We have a track next by International Internet Radio Hall of Fame disc jockey Brother O.
See, I know tender heart. Yeah, I mean it from the heart. You're not losing the fight. Love will make it all right. 'Cause I've been there, done that, worn that dress. So you know mama knows it best. Hey. Not trying to patronize a little bit. Baby, I empathize, I must admit. But I need you to recognize the dial in it. See, a change starts today. Better wipe those tears away. Some people criticize the way you live. But don't you apologize, it's definite. Baby, the children wear the future is. See, a change starts today. Better wipe those.
Thank you for that track, Brother O. There are facets in the work environment that are invisible. These facets consist of aggression and bullying behaviors that are manifested as manipulation of others and driving ambition. Every workplace has some degree of dysfunction, of course. Often ones that are the healthiest think they're the worst and vice versa. Let's explore some examples of organizational dysfunction. Letting personal problems overwhelm effectiveness. Life throws us, the first one is letting personal problems overwhelm effectiveness. Life throws us all of our share of curveballs, and sometimes they arrive when we're at work, but personal distractions should be the exception, not the norm. I worked at a company where a CEO was having a midlife crisis, and his shareholders took a trip to Bermuda instead of paying the staff. They were 1,000 nurses who did not get paid after working for 2 months. True story. Number two, withdrawal of support. The workplace should be a place where you can rely on being treated fairly and with respect, but a significant number of workers violate the principle of mutual support and deterioration follows. Hiding resources, withholding information. Those who refuse to share knowledge, either by playing dumb or being evasive, are working only to better themselves, not for the good of the team. I worked in another organization where the CEO stole money from the company. Seems like that's a theme, huh? He formed a separate account in his wife's name and stole $5 million over a three-year period. During this time, no one received a raise, and he kept his account away from the CFO. This was all in healthcare because I was a nurse at the time and this was going on. Number four example, the fourth example is ongoing turf wars. In the ideal professional world, all coworkers get along. But in reality, it's not uncommon for colleagues to dislike each other. Arguments, rifts, mean spirit, rivalries may follow. And at worst cases, dislikes and rivalry can develop into a full-blown office war. This is a product of Damon Network, and this is Breaking the Silence, and I'm your host, Mo Garman, on air now from Lagos, Nigeria. Dial in at 516-453-9133. Press 1 to join the conversation. Brought to you by Looking Glass Entertainment. The next example of a dysfunction we're going to talk about is pouting and yelling. Sometimes people engage in plain old-fashioned bad behavior, and if it's not addressed, it can become chronic and contagious. I have seen physicians scream and holler at nurses and vice versa. I've seen nurses scream and holler at each other. Usually it's very rare that I've seen a nurse holler at a physician and yell, but that dysfunction does go on in hospitals. And it's usually no matter who is at fault, they usually side on the side of the physician. Taking undue credit. Those with low self-esteem need to toot their own horn and take credit for work that they did not do. The bottom line is that they hunger for recognition, but their behavior can quickly wreck an even a strong team. Next is misrepresentation of roles. Low self-esteem may also lead people to misrepresent their position or title. Without the faith it takes to risk working toward a better position, they instead pretend that they have already arrived. Number eight, frequent and senseless reorganization. Sometimes people in leadership think that constant tinkering with an organization structure is the way to fix an issue. Unfortunately, uncertain restructuring actually makes problems worse. I worked in an organization once where they did just that. They created positions for their friends, and they created COO positions, and it was a very small company, but they created a very large tier, a chain of command, in order to accommodate their friends. A high turnover is another example. Happy, fulfilled employees do not leave unless there is great opportunity or compelling personal reason. If people are departing in droves, you've got a problem. Undeserved promotions, we just spoke about that. But when those people know how to play the game, can work the system and get undeserved promotions, it builds resentment and decreased respect. It also results in a mass exodus. Being careless about quality is another example. Quality is where excellence lies. An organization that compromises on quality jeopardizes everything it does. When my husband was sick, before he passed, I took him to the hospital. His insurance didn't kick in for one day after he was admitted. The admissions person at the hospital came to see us the next day and asked us to tell the insurance company the wrong date of the admission so that the hospital could be paid more money. And it was just one day. They weren't going to eat the cost of anything. So that's an example of being careless about quality. There's also the issue of double billing in some healthcare agencies. They tend to do this with a person that pays out of pocket for healthcare. Then the healthcare kicks in and they bill the insurance for the exact same services you just paid out of pocket for. They will bill the insurance and hope that you don't read the summary when it comes to you. We have a track next by International Internet Radio Hall of Fame disc jockey Brother O. Going to get back to our list of organizational dysfunction examples. Number 12 is backbiting and backstabbing. The workplace isn't high school. If you're not getting along with someone, find a way to work it out. Any other response looks like and is immature behavior. This is a product of Damon Network, and this is Breaking the Silence, and I'm your host, Mo Garman, on air now from Lagos, Nigeria. Dial in at 516-453-9133. Press 1 to join the conversation, brought to you by Looking Glass Entertainment. Tonight we're exploring the five major causes of organizational dysfunction, and we're listing organizational dysfunction examples at this time. Gossiping and rumors is number 13. There's only one good approach to gossip. Don't allow it. Nothing good has ever happened from gossiping, and talking behind people's backs. That is a hard one for organizations to curb. I've worked at an organization that did a halfway decent job with that. They developed a newsletter to try to curtail some of the gossip going on in the organization. It was dysfunctional. They had some issues, but they called it the grapevine. And so they would address certain things at that time so you could read about the different things and kind of go through all the myths that you were reading, that you were hearing as far as gossip in the organization. And it was a good way to control it. Favoritism and preferential treatment. Is inequality is a quick path to discomfort and strife. Treat everyone the same, is specifically the way that you want to be treated. Bigotry and prejudice is number 15. Under no circumstances should bigotry be tolerated. Immediate action is the only proper response. We all know what bigotry is, but it's hard to prove. I do recommend that if you're in that situation, I recommend you keep a journal, a notebook of events. That way you have something prepared so that you're not just standing there saying, this person is just being racist or prejudiced against me. Next dysfunction is hiring quotas. Hiring quotas are a common practice, but also not the best way to build a talented and committed and diverse task. Number 17, refusing to establish procedures. Leadership that cannot initiate procedures cannot create progress. Again, this is a product of Damon Network, and this is Breaking the Silence. And I'm your host, Mo Garman, on air now from Lagos, Nigeria. Dial in at 516-453-9133. Press 1 to join the conversation. Brought to you by Looking Glass Entertainment. And tonight we're discussing the five major causes of organizational dysfunction. We have a caller in queue. Caller 3, can you please tell us who you are and where you're calling from?
This is Breaking the Silence. Outstanding show. This is Tara Strength. How you doing this evening, Mrs. Garman?
I'm fine. How are you, Tara?
I'm doing great. I'm really enjoying this topic about dysfunctional organizations. I want to echo what Sister Bessie talked about when she was talking about Chin Men and how much she loved it. I've recently started working there. And you know, I'm under opinion that it takes you really have to have strong principled leadership that really understands people and how to be successful. And you have a lot of dysfunctional organizations out here, just like you have a lot of dysfunctional families out of here. But it seems to me that it takes really strong leadership from up top to really set the tone and the pace. To have a company that's built with integrity and really tries to take care of its people while providing the service or product or whatever it's providing. I've been a part of some very dysfunctional organizations, and I've been a part of some organizations that were very, very functional and very successful. And there's a big, big difference between the two, and one of the big differences is leadership. Leadership. So this is a great topic. I want to echo what Sister Bessie was saying about the place where she's now a member of, outstanding organization where they really try to take care of seniors in a way that I haven't experienced before.
Right.
And, so this is a very good topic. I'm really enjoying your show tonight. You're doing
Thanks
a great job and keep doing.
Thank you. I will keep it up. Next, we're going to go into five. Thank you very much for your call, Tara. Next, we're going to go into five strategies for improving organizational dysfunction. The first strategy is to understand the rules and expectations. They should be clearly outlined in the mission and vision statements of the organization. Two, we should create and communicate meaningful and spiritual values. Three, engage with your boss year-round. Strength was just talking about having strong leaders. Communicate effectively with everyone on your team is number 4. And 5, maintain your personal integrity. Now it's Ngozi time.
Well, first of all, Mo, I love what you said tonight about leadership. And especially, and I love, I'm going to segue with Tara Strength. You can't have any foolishness. I'm a person that believes in eradicating that. I think one thing that I think a successful organization should have is respect. When you lose respect, then things happen. So then I have to get into that. We've had a lot of changes, since 2018. People were not willing to even not do the job well at ONE Dynasty, or, you know, personal misconduct allows them to have to be promoted to listening. But we pledge at ONE Dynasty that even all those folks are still part of our outstanding family. We still consider them alumni, and still consider them family. I want to, you know, of course, announce our new host at the Tuesday hour, another 3 weeks from now, or maybe 3.5 weeks from now. Her name is Lois Shaw, and I cannot wait for her to start with our network as an intern, and we'll do the best we can to mentor her in the right processes. Outstanding show tonight by Mo Garman. And she talked about dysfunctionalities. And I still believe that the main is respect. Respect of others. And that's the key. Turnover is always a sad situation. But righteous turnover is always a great situation. And we pledge at ONE Dynasty to be the best in that radio network, period. And we have already achieved it and already preceded it and succeeded it. So we're glad about what we do here at ONE Dynasty, David Network, as well as WNS Online Radio. And, of course, we're off tomorrow because I rest on Saturdays. Caught my personal Shabbat. And, of course, you know, on Sunday we come right back here with Chinchilla J, our news anchor and news forum, at 9:30 Eastern Standard Time on these ONE stations. And, of course, Damon Network has advertising to ONE, which is on Adobe and Goose Enterprise. Reach, of course, at www, the Looking Glass Entertainment, at WordPress.com, as well as the Goosey Prime Time at Damon.com. We're in Goosey Time both for Twitter and Instagram, on Adobe and Goosey Appearance, Google Plus, on Adobe and Malibu Goosey at Facebook, as well as our business page, Breaking the Silence, as well as the historic, determined and motivated ONE Line Now Network, established in 2016. Any comments, suggestions, or wonderful program tonight, Ole Delay. That goes for mine@gmail.com, and I am the 2021 International Internet Radio Producing and Shrining, the 2019 Disc Jockey Shrining for the same hall, but most importantly, I'm your mother and father's favorite producer, Ole Delay Malay, and Gozi saying good night and good luck to all the folks out there in Armed Force Radio, support us on a constant basis tonight. And, of course, what more can I say that have already been said? Outstanding processes tonight from our young lady, Ms. Mo Garman. You have 2 minutes left to go in the program.
I want to end, thank you very much, Brother O. I want to end this broadcast with a quote from Martin Luther King. The ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in moments of comfort and convenience, but where he stands in times of change and controversy. Have a good night, everyone. No.